Welcome, everyone, to a special edition of my Fearless Media podcast. I was just recently asked by a reporter from The Wrap about something that I wasn't aware of before called Rewarded.tv and the new watch-to-earn business models for the premium streaming world. And it was pretty fascinating to me, so I wanted to get my thoughts out to you after I gave them first to the reporter. And I wanted to flesh them out a bit, and that's what this podcast is all about. So let's go and let's talk about watch-to-earn and what we think about that. I'll give you my thoughts, and then I urge you to check it out yourself. So forget about advertising-driven streaming video business models and even subscription-based models. At least that's what new Web3 NFT blockchain-based streaming film and TV service Rewarded.tv wants you to do. The company has introduced an entirely new watch-to-earn business model by which viewers get paid. They get paid and rewarded simply for watching. The more you watch, the more you make. Think about that. And do you think that's a fantasy? Well, no, it's not. The video games business is already being rocked by its controversial play-to-earn business model, which is very similar. And that is led by notorious game Axie Infinity, which is something that you must definitely check out if you're not aware of it. So how would we think about all of this? Is it real or not? Is it good for the entertainment industry and consumers or not? That's why I talk about this stuff, to get us thinking about all these developments, then talking about them, and then leading the media and entertainment and tech industries upward, hopefully upward. So again, Axie Infinity is the poster child in the world of video games for the industry's transformational and controversial new play-to-earn business model. And it does sound almost too good to be true. The more gamers play and sit and just simply watch their screens and Twitch, the more they make. So Rewarded.tv should not be surprising that it's coming onto the scene. Its new watch-to-earn business model for the premium video streaming world is directly inspired by Axie Infinity, after all. Watch-to-earn is similarly fueled by blockchain, Web3, crypto, and NFTs. Simple, right? Pretty cool. Well, not so fast. Here's why Axie Infinity and play-to-earn in the world of games are highly controversial, and they are. Critics of play-to-earn point out that this new business model can lead to a form of indentured servitude. Now think about that. With play-to-earn, gamers are incentivized to sit at their screens all day and all night, not to play, at least in a traditional entertainment-first way, but rather to simply churn out their gaming hours in order to maximize their payouts and dollars. And it takes a hell of a lot of super sedentary screen-staring Twitch time to generate any meaningful dollars. So enjoyment is certainly not the first name of the game here. And many of these working gamers live in very poor countries and are recruited to play en masse by very rich cryptocrats who created a system of seemingly generous-sounding what they call scholarships to lure them in to play more and more, and to scale these individual gaming slaves into teams of them. You should read more about that. I'm not going to get into it here, but you should read more about this quote-unquote scholarship program in the world of Axie Infinity. It's fascinating. So, but on the other hand, on the flip side, proponents of play-to-earn, of course, they argue that this new business model actually gives otherwise unemployed gamers a new way to earn a living, especially in poorer countries where fewer options exist. And there is some merit to that perspective as well. But either way, ultimately, this new business model rewards blind consumption over everything else, certainly over entertainment-first gaming and over the inherent quality of the game itself. Like, is the quality really job one? But I'll get into that a little bit later, because we can say that about any form of entertainment. So this all takes us to Rewarded.tv and its new related watch-to-earn business model for premium video streaming, where the same pro and con Axie Infinity arguments directly apply for the world of streaming film and television. Without a doubt, there is an audience in this new transformational world of Web3 that will grab their popcorn, turn on their television or other favorite screens, and simply never leave that couch because they want to maximize the dollars that are going to be flowing to them for just sitting and doing nothing. I mean, think about it. Making money by simply watching films and television series and doing nothing else is a concept that has real power to it for some. Even if the content is really, really bad, people may sit there. I don't know how they're going to measure consumption if you fall asleep on the couch and the screen time just keeps going on and you get paid for the more time, most time of just leave it open. I don't know about those details, but it's something to look into. But these new economic incentives absolutely will fuel streaming consumption of individual titles and ultimately expand audiences and build new content brands, likely or not. Not necessarily because of the quality of that content or that experience. Consumers will turn the dial, at least some of them, or many of them, I think, will turn the dial for dollars to flow to them, not because they want to watch must-see TV. But for the content creators themselves, so filmmakers and TV producers and everybody in the creator economy, are the incentives in a watch-to-earn world really that much different than they already are today within an ad and subscription-driven world? If the goal for most is simply to maximize content consumption and audiences and build new content brands that perpetuate that cycle, then does quality even really matter under any scenario? After all, the primary incentive for most in the content ecosystem, for most, not all, certainly, is simply to maximize economic return. Nonetheless, watch to earn does beg the same fundamental question as does play to earn in the world of games. That is, for the consumer, is this really entertainment? Is this really what we want? Or is it really just an alternative form of employment? And if it is a form of employment, is that a bad thing? Maybe not, at least for some, because this new sedentary workforce may lack other alternatives. Or they may just want to make some extra cash. But even in those cases, you got to think about it. What does that mean for those passivists, like what I did there, passivists? What does it mean for those passivists' overall physical and mental health? Let's at least ask those questions. And then when you do ask those questions, think about the flip side. Like challenge. Let's all challenge ourselves about the pros as well as the cons, because it's easy to point out the cons. Positive scenarios can be imagined. I'll give you one example. Let's just take an underserved audience, a specific market segment that is not getting its rightful supply of film and television. In this case, I'm going to use dog lovers, okay? So let's assume that dog lovers don't get enough dog content out there, great dog content out there. And let's say that dog lovers have an opportunity to help finance a film that otherwise would not be made. Think about it. Just they wouldn't be getting this specific dog movie unless they finance it. And let's assume that this dog-loving audience profits, literally profits, the more they watch this film that they enabled and the more this new film is watched by others. And let's further assume that this new film is actually high quality and downright Oscar-worthy, and that the financially invested dog owners of the world unite to actively promote it, share it with their friends, and ultimately build an entirely new multi-billion dollar monetizing franchise by dogs, from which they will then take their ongoing fractional shares and the ongoing revenues generated by this new doggy franchise. Is that a bad thing? Certainly not in this case, and it will most definitely happen, people. This is going to happen. And in the newsletter version of what I'm talking about here, I had this fun picture of Tom Hanks in the not classic movie Turner and Hooch. So I thought it would be kind of fun to add an image, but I certainly am not saying that Turner and Hooch was one of these Oscar-worthy films that otherwise would not have been made. It was made. And not in a watch-to-play or fractional investment model. So there it is. So anyhow, no matter what you think about a watch-to-play and the play-to-earn business models and games, and just generally related financially driven Web3 consumption business models of fractional investment, fractional ownership, things that I've talked about and written about a lot, they are definitely here to stay. Pandora's great box has been opened. It's not closing. And let's take the most exciting aspects of all of this. And I think there are a lot of exciting aspects in the Web3 world, in the NFT world, where audiences can actually help produce by financing content, whether it's games, whether it's films, whether it's television or anything else, and then profit. The more that they consume it, the more they watch it, the more they play it, the more they share it. There are certainly downsides to all of that. And Play to Earn has a lot of downsides in the games business. I think the indentured servitude aspect of it and the scholarship aspect of it, which I urge you to read about it, I think those are real, real strong concerns. And the fact that you have a lot of the really super wealthy crypto people out there who are essentially collectivizing groups of those who are on the lower rungs of society who are in desperate circumstances and are profiting from these people. So I think there's certainly a lot of that going on. But let's look not only at the downsides, let's try to take the best of the potential of some of these systems, look at different business models, and it's always good to explore them and pick them apart a little bit and see which ones serve us best for certain different scenarios. So there it is. That's my take on the new Watch to Play business models and Rewarded.tv. As always, feel free to reach out to me at peter@creative.media. That's peter@creativ.media. And I am chairman and founder of Creative Media Ventures. Send me your questions. Send me the topics you'd like to hear about. Check out my Fearless Media podcast every time I set a new episode. And also check out my companion, very different though, podcast on the Consequence Podcast Network, where I interview iconic artists, musical artists, about their most iconic songs of all time. It's called The Story Behind the Song. And Consequence reaches over 65 million people on a monthly basis. So it's a pretty popular podcast, and it's a lot of fun to do. I interview Debbie Harry of Blondie, Roland Orzabal of Tears for Fears. I have about 12 different interviews that are already in the can, and there's some really exciting ones that are coming up. So I urge you to check that out if you're a music fan. And then also, I just attended, together with my wife, we went to the Bottle Rock Music Festival over Memorial Day weekend. It was outstanding. It was fascinating. And we drove our Sprinter van from San Diego this time, 500 miles each way. And we did it the van lifestyle, camping for the first time. And I covered that for Spin Magazine. If you all remember Spin Magazine, which was kind of the alternative to Rolling Stone Magazine. Well, Spin was recently bought out by a private equity fund. That brand is coming back. I wrote an article about the van life experience for Bottle Rock, and it's in Spin Magazine. And you can check that out in the newsletter. I have a link to it. And stay tuned and keep watching, keep listening, and keep reading, and send me your questions. Thanks.